Well, a quality person and a quality entertainer and a top financial expert is Leland Faust. He's represented over 100 MLB, NFL, and NBA All-Stars and Olympians. He's worked with professional athletes. He was named by the Sporting News, the list of the 100 most powerful people in the sports industry. Leland is a public speaker, a triathlete, and an author of A Capitalist Lament. Leland, how are you today?
Doing very well. Thanks, Marty.
Did I give you a good introduction there? I hope I got everything.
Yeah, I think I'm quite happy with how you describe me.
What position did you play when you played baseball?
Yeah,
I'm going to give you a curveball right away.
I played center field on my junior high softball team. That's as far as I got.
All right. I gave you a curveball. You hit it. You laid back. You didn't move your hands too quickly. And you got it. Very good. That's the key to being a good hitter. We had the draft this week. We're going to see Joey Bart next week. The Giants kicked in about $7 million for him, maybe a little bit under the slot so they can have money for everybody else. This draft, and boy, it was a big deal this year. MLB was all over. It was on TV and a lot of surprises early on. The Tigers took that kid from Auburn who got lit up in the college playoffs last week. But is it competitive balance or is it team cost control? What is the draft all about? What's behind it all?
Well, the draft in all the major league sports is about cost control for the clubs and saving them from themselves. It's not about competitive balance, even though it's really sold that way. And certainly in baseball, more than the other major sports, more than basketball and football and hockey too, it's even less about competitive advantage because one player can really change a basketball team, and one player can help a football team, but one player can't make a huge difference in a poor baseball team. If you've got a lousy record, you finish 30 games out and you get the number one pick, that's not going to move you up in the standings very much. So it's all about cost containment. And if we look at some historical examples, it's really simple to see if you want me to go into some of those.
Well, it's interesting. As you were speaking, I was thinking to myself, my brain was going through probably what you're going to mention, and that, you know, in the early, we had the draft, if you paid over $4,000 to a player, he had to be kept on the major league roster for 2 years. You couldn't send them out. There were limits on what you could pay for, obviously, for a bonus. Then there was unlimited time where the money was just flowing. And baseball was losing money right and left because of the bump. Paul Pettit, early 50s, and the Pirates got over $100,000. So are those some of the things you're thinking about?
Well, I was thinking, well, certainly some of that. But, I mean, I think that we can see what's happened over years. And because of a kind of an unusual thing that happened 20 years ago, and which I'm going to go into here, we can see exactly what the draft is about. In 1997, the highest bonus paid for a first rounder until the glitch that I'm going to describe was just right at $2 million. That was the highest ever paid. And but in 1997, a couple of the teams, and I have no idea how, but they didn't make the proper tender within the 15 days it was required. So those two players on these two different teams, it was Arizona and it was Tampa Bay, they became free agents as draft picks. And both of them signed for over $10 million. And just to put that in perspective, the Pirates had a low payroll in 97. Their whole payroll was about $10 million. And so that shows that, the difference in $2 million and $10 million. And if you look at what those players turned out to be, one of them was a pitcher the Rays drafted named Matt White. And despite my record of playing softball and never hardball, Matt White has as many games in the big leagues as I do. But he got $10 million. And the other guy was Travis Lee, and he had kind of a ho-hum career at best. He lasted a while, but hardly a star player. And that's what it's about, containing the costs. And so now they've gone further, as you were alluding to, and they, each team is given an allotment, and that allotment is based on essentially by how high their first round pick is. And, you know, they can spend that for the draft, and if they go over it, even a little bit, anything over that allotment, up to 5%, and they have to pay a 75% penalty to the league. So it becomes pretty expensive, and that's exactly what they're hoping for.
Yeah, the draft is to keep them safe from themselves. I just thinking the draft started in 65 with Rick Monday as the first pick. He got about $100,000, but prior to that, you had Rick Reichert of the Angels getting about $250,000. And, you know, and you go back into the 50s, like I say, there were, money was flowing all over the place. So it's been an interesting history, and you're right. I agree with you. I think it is team cost control. I agree with you on that. That's a good question. Why so many rounds? Why do they have to go? I mean, let's face it. You go 50 rounds? I mean, you're paying the 50th guy, like, you know, $700 a month. Why do you have to go 50 rounds?
Well, I think the teams in baseball, as far as I can tell, do that for two reasons. One, unlike the other sports, there's no multiple levels of minor leagues. Obviously, football, none. Now the basketball, just partially. But in baseball, they got to fill the minor leagues, so they have to draft players to do that, or they'd be busy trying to sign all these kids free agents to fill their minor leagues slots, and they don't want to do that. So it's a way, again, to take it, make a decision, draft a player, and then you pay them a slotted signing bonus, and then everybody goes to work. Otherwise, it would just be chaos, and there'd be more trouble with the cost again. So it's just a way of doing those two things: not having complete chaos and containing the cost. I mean, but the idea that these teams can tell a difference between the quality of a player in the 20th round or the 25th or 30th round is absurd. They can't even tell a difference in the players in the first round, and I'd like to chat about that if we can.
All right. As you're speaking, I'm thinking of, the draft and how it's evolved and how baseball has included some people from Puerto Rico. They still haven't figured it out how to deal with, they have the international signing bonus money. You have a limited amount in the pool for that you could use in Venezuela or the Dominican Republic or something like that. Then all of a sudden Asia came into the picture. And now there's limits with how much you can pay in a posting fee and when the player can come in. So I'm just thinking of what you said in the initial question. Everything is cost control. Baseball just trying to keep itself free from overspending.
Well, that's certainly the case. And as you say, it gets really complicated since they keep it from their own perspective. And again, if you're looking at cost control, it makes sense. Why have cost control for the American athletes if you're not going to have it for the Asians and the Latin Americans? So, they've fixed it up. But even when they fix it up, this idea that you can identify the next great player, it's been proven over and over again that that's not the case. I mean, look at the Giants. They've had some great, first round picks that are, around the present team or close to it, Buster Posey and Bumgarner, Lincecum and Panic. Okay, great choices. But they've had number one picks, Wendell Fairley, Tim Alderson, Roger Whitaker. I don't think they made much of a contribution to the Giants. So, it's just still so hard to identify the talent, in baseball. You get a number one pick, number one, not just round, but a number one pick in basketball. The odds are he's going to be a solid player, at least. Occasionally there's been an exception, but not a lot. But in baseball, the top 2-3 picks can end up being totally ordinary.
Well, it's funny. The old Grady Fuson, who was the scouting director for the Rangers, once told me, said after the first round, that's when you pick the major leaguers. So that's sort of what you're saying. But look, the Giants put out $7 million. We're going to meet Joey Bart next week from Georgia Tech, and sort of a leader-like catcher, a big kid. And they obviously must – when you get the number two pick, you can't miss. And you better be right. And I think I'd say over – and I don't have the numbers to back it up. But I'd say over maybe the last 7 or 8 years, maybe the top five – and maybe if it's high school, it takes time to develop. But I bet the top 5 to 7 picks are pretty good.
Well, I haven't looked at it that closely. It's in the last, I have a couple of they're now, retired from baseball clients who were number two picks. And one of them was out of Stanford, Greg Reynolds, and he was a number two pick in the draft, and he had a career 6-11 record with a 7 ERA. And the other one was Mike Kelly, who had a nice had a nice career, wasn't a huge star, but coming out of ASU, came out of Arizona State, and his coach at Arizona State said he was the best player he had ever coached. And I said, oh my God, this is great. And Mike Kelly was a great guy. I mean, a good player. But the coach happened to have also coached Reggie Jackson and Barry Bonds. So, it's hard to tell, that's all.
Right. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Hey, appreciate having you on, Leland. Always interesting to get your perspective. And I think the first question really was very important. Competitive balance or really cost control. And I think as we look through the history of these signings and how it's the tentacles have gone all over the world, it really is cost control. And why not? That's their business. And that's the way you run a good business. So I appreciate having you on as always.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Leland Faust. Very good. Good topic. And you run a business, that's what you want to do. You want to control the cost of your business. And we see it in baseball all the time. We see it in arbitration. That's what baseball got into in the mid-70s. They started arbitration, and they hoped that it would stave off free agency. Well, what it did was raise the salary so high in arbitration that when they went into free agency, they already had a high number to begin with. So it hasn't always worked. But as a business, that's the key to your business, is keeping your overhead low. And baseball really, really works at that. So good topic from Leland. I appreciate it. Always very provocative. All right, more coming up in the Sports Leader.